And a good Saturday morning, and also a very happy new year if you hadn't had that said to you yet. And we got great fishing reports coming up. We're going to be talking to Captain Mike Gallo, Brendan Bayard, Ryan Lambert, and also getting a duck hunt report from Captain Kirk Stancil. And from a lot of individuals who text in, this one comes in from Sippermore Point, Vermilion Bay. Someone's at the camp. They're hoping to chase some redfish. Pending the seas in Vermilion Bay as these winds seem to hold steady at about 15 knots, which can churn up the bay waters. I really like to run to Southwest Pass at Vermilion Bay to redfish. Other options to run in the Marsh Island at the Game Warden Camp to several weirs. You can catch bait like shrimp, crabs, mullet, and croaker. Fishing inside the island is usually good and protected from the winds. They could also fish Shark Bayou closer to Sippermore Point. Near the state park having cabins and RV and camper spots now seems to be attracting lots of visitors to the state park there. Well, thanks for that good report. Really appreciate getting that from the Sippermore Point, and best of luck on your trip. Here's a review, a summary review on the castable fish finders. He says, I received the Garmin Striker castable fish finder for Christmas. It performs as directed, shows the water depth, the water temperature, underwater structure. I'm still learning how to use it for maximum return, so I can't make an honest assessment of it yet. Haven't tried it in salt water. That's Big E from Thibodeau. And yes, Big E, we're talking about from between the elevated highway and Grand Isle for those off the bank hotspots. All right, and good morning from the folks at that's Jason and over there at Corey's Barbershop in Covington, where they're listening to us on a wonderful chilly morning. All right, here's a comment on hunting firearm accidents. If the one firing the gun was also breaking other laws like trespassing, hunting outside legal hours, firing a weapon too close to a house, from a vehicle, public road, that should be taken into account and go against them. If neither was breaking other laws and it appears to be a mistake, that's another matter. I would not hunt on land I didn't have exclusive rights to hunt. I have been in my own stand on my own land as a trespassing hunter wearing no orange, walked up from behind. Still gives me cold chills because I assumed he was a deer and prepared to shoot. Still think about that, and it's been over 20 years. And I guess it comes down to a case of was there some type of negligence on the shooter's part. Here's one. What is the name of the first marina you get a fishing report? The man who owns it's not there this week. Yeah, that's Campos Marina. Robbie Campos, the owner-operator. Glenn Sanchez, who used to give us reports from Breton Island Marina when he owned it, filled in for it. And we have Miriam, normally in Lacombe. She's currently at the place near the Arkansas line. Well, I hope you're enjoying your holidays, Miriam. Have a good time up there. All right, we also have coming up a little bit later on for your listening pleasure, we have the story of one state's largest ever sentence handed down for a hunting violation in the history of the state. He's our bad boy of the outdoors this morning, and we've got his story coming at you. So stick around. We got another whole hour to go. Mike Gallo is next. He's got fishing reports from Lake Bourne, Lake Catherine, the Wall in Chalmette. You name it. He fishes. He has boat. We'll travel. And he's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And the Bourne and the Bayou Report with Captain Mike Gallo is a presentation of CETO, who for $249 for a year, we'll give you a membership that'll get you fuel drops, unlimited in number, 24/7 tow-ins, jump starts for electrical problems, whatever it takes to get you back safely. CETO is like having a triple A on the water. It's peace of mind for you and your loved ones, and it's only one phone call away. Call Captain Chris, 504-301-4545, or simply dial up CETO.com and get started with your renewable membership. Captain Mike joins us now. And, Mike, what's going on over in your neck of the woods these days?
Well, Don, it's a little breezy this morning, but it's been a pretty productive week. Things have been status quo as it's been over the last couple of weeks. Water temperatures are still a little on the warm side for this time of year. I know that's going to change relatively soon, but we do have a window of opportunity to get out there and still have some productive days before things change with this upcoming cold front.
Yeah, it's going to be quite a change, and it calls for changing some tactics. But I guess you got this window to get in before those winds really start cranking up from the south and southeast, and then we get the switch around, and that brings in dirty water and maybe some low water conditions. Fishing is going to be good, but it's going to get tough before it gets better again, I guess is the way to put it.
Yeah, that's the normal, you know, like Darryl Copper was saying, if history prevails, it's that same old up and down, you know, the water will get cold. It might be cold for 3 to 5 days and gently start to warm up, and then your tactics will change again. And it's just, that's just the nature of our fishery this time of year. It's not that the fish can't be caught. They just may be in different areas.
You know, Mike, Darryl was also saying that bait is available if you look for it down there on Grand Isle. Glenn Sanchez told us it's pretty scarce down around Lower St. Bernard. What's the situation around the Slidell area at the bait shops there as far as live bait?
The Wrigley's area has a good supply of bait. Most of our bait comes from down around Empire. So they truck it up there, and we've had a good supply. I see that lasting for at least a couple of weeks. It's usually when you have 4 or 5 days of high winds that the shrimpers don't go out, and then they sort of deplete what little backlog of inventory they have, and then you might be down for 3 or 4 days before they catch and get it reshipped up to our area. But Wrigley's does a great job of keeping bait on hand when it's available.
We're talking with Captain Mike Gallo of Angling Adventures of Louisiana. Mike, your plans today, have you got customers, and is there a preference speckled trout, redfish, and maybe the bottom feeders, drum and sheephead, or is it whatever bites a hook?
Well, there's two answers to that question. I do have boats going out this week with customers that want to catch fish. Personally, I'm going to be climbing in a deer stand and see if I can bring Double D some business.
There you go. Robbie was successful, so if things hold true for our field reporters, maybe it'll be your day to score. You in Mississippi or Louisiana?
I'm in Mississippi. I got an excellent guy today. He was trying to talk me into shooting one last week. I held out for a bigger one. So we'll see who gives in this week.
Yep. Well, you're going to be hunting from a box or a ladder or a pop-up? What kind of stand you're going to
We'll be in a box.
Very good. Yeah, and what stage are they in the rut in that area?
They seem like they were just starting to, noses on the ground. I don't know if that makes sense to a lot of people. But the males were following the females with their noses to the ground last week. So I would assume the rut's kind of just getting started in this area.
Yeah, should be some prime time, and you tucked away in your box there, probably got you a nice little heater, and looking forward to a good morning when the sun comes up and it starts breaking and those woods come alive. Huh? It's my favorite time of the morning, when the squirrels and the birds start chirping and things sort of start waking up.
Right. I agree. It is a great time of the morning. Sit and relax, decompress, do some reflection. It's good for the soul.
Mike, given the time of the year, once that front blows on through and those temperatures drop, what might be some places to give it a shot if somebody's got some time to get out after the front?
When the water gets cold, getting those lower 50s, those fish like to be in man-made canals where you have consistent depth and consistent water temperature, and you don't have quite as much water movement. So areas like Gohegan's Canal, all the man-made canals in the area, Eden Isles, Venetian Isles, Lakeshore Estates, all of those types of places. The Intercoastal Waterway is a man-made canal. The Mr. Go is a man-made canal. So all of those areas are going to be good. You do some drifting. You just pay attention where you catch one, and they could be in a small stretch of 100 yards, and you just drift over that same stretch multiple times till you catch what you need.
Mike, given you on the deer stand this weekend, when would be the best time for somebody to get a hold of you, and how should they do it to check on future dates for fishing trips?
Oh, I got my schedule for 2025 already set up, and we're already booking trips. So that's not an issue. I did bring my schedule with me. You know, as a small business owner, there's no such thing as being closed. So you can send me an email, a voicemail. I'll look over my schedule, see what I have available, and get back with you with an answer.
All right, I'm going to leave you with this deer hunting tip. Turn that bong bong down. That is not going to help you get a deer this morning.
Turn the, what is that called? Oh, okay. Yeah, we're not in the stand yet.
Okay, well, good. Don't bring it with you when you go. Good luck to you, Mike, and let us know the results next week, my friend.
All righty, Don. We'll talk to you then.
All right. I think that probably was maybe the truck door or something being open. I'm not sure what sound that was. All right, we come back after this. It's time for a paddler's report. Brendan Bayard sent me a beautiful picture of, I think, he and his son with some gorgeous speckled trout that he caught, and he's going to tell you how you can do it, too. Coming next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And our paddler's report in conjunction with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club is a presentation of No Wake Outdoors, No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Highway in Metairie, open Mondays through Saturday, 10 to 6. And they've got a special Fly Fishing 101 course coming up on February the 15th. It's a 3 to 4 hour class, goes in depth through the fundamentals, and that's followed by some on-hand casting instruction. And you also includes your first fly fishing rig, complete with a rod, the reel, the line, and the leader. That's a $250 value. They also have a nice selection of conventional tackle, including the ever-popular Marker 54 bait. That's at No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Highway in Metairie. Whether it's a paddle in hand or on the fly, they've got all your on-water needs at Louisiana's premier kayak store. Brendan Bayard joins us now. And, Brendan, I'm looking at that beautiful picture you sent. I think your son nudged you out on those two. They're slightly bigger than yours. Not by much, but just a little bit.
Maybe he had a little bit better of a day, or maybe he grabbed the best ones on the table. I'm not sure, but
he had them pushed out a little further. Anyway, yeah. You look at it, that is four beautiful speckled trouts. How'd you catch them? Where'd you catch them? And are they still available for somebody to get after and get them?
Yeah, Don, I talked to a couple of my buddies after I made the trip and had the success, and they went out and they did the same thing. So I think they're still out there. The day I went was the first day it got cold after the warmth we had this week. I think it was Wednesday. It was the first day it kind of got cold and windy after it was warm. So I got out there. It was windy. The water was low. The water was still clean and it was still warm. It was very low, probably, you know, a foot and a half, 2 feet low. It was clean. The water temperature on my depth finder said 63. We went fishing, and I think it even warmed up to about 64 during the day at some point. And I threw topwater all day, corkies, and those fish weren't super aggressive throughout the day, but you would work that topwater, and you could almost see them following it. And then sometimes I would pause that bait, let that topwater sit there, and they would just smack it when it was not moving. It was kind of cool. It was kind of weird, but you know, we got some really big fish that day. We released probably 5 over 20 inches that day, and we kept 15 right between 17 and 19. There were some really big fish, some really wide fish. These fish were very heavy for being, you know, almost 20 inches. You know, we had the ones that were over 20 were, you know, probably 4 pounds or so. We had a couple of them that were, you know, around 22, a little over 22 inches, but some really nice fish.
It doesn't get much better than that. And I got to tell you, it's, as you know, it's pretty unusual to have an all day topwater bait. Usually they'll give you a couple hours at the most, but boy, to continue an all day long, how much fun is that?
Yeah, we had a blast. It's been a while since we had them that good. My son was debating whether or not to come with me, and he sure was glad that he came because, I mean, he was like, Dad, I never had it like this in a long time. It's just every cast at the beginning of the day was just a giant fish kind of leapfrogging out of the water, showing his whole body, you know, kind of greyhounding towards a bait. And then as the sun came up, it was, you know, a little bit less action, but, you know, you just kept working that, and maybe every, you know, 5-10 minutes you get one that just kind of blew out of nowhere, and sometimes right next to the kayak, sometimes at the end of your cast. You never knew when it was going to strike.
Well, that's why we fish, for those particular days. Brendan, Minimalist Challenge, not far off, coming up February 1st. Tell us how it works and how do people get signed up.
Yeah, February 1st is our first event of the year. This year, the club has voted to use trolling motors, or allowed trolling motors. Obviously, you don't have to have one. You can use a paddle, or you can use pedals, or you can use trolling motors, whatever you want. The first event is the Minimalist Challenge. That's the event we launch at the public launch at Leeville. We all branch out into whatever direction you want and come back for the group weigh-in. They give you a bag of baits, and everybody's fishing with the same lures the whole day. It's a really fun event. This year they have special pricing if you do it early. Right now you can buy the whole series of events for the whole year for a discounted price. So that's a new thing they're offering this year. I think it might be $125 or something close to that, and that covers all five tournaments. So a real great thing to do if you want to sign up and try out the Bayou Coast clubs this year.
Nice package deal. Brendan, thanks so much for the report. Congratulations on the trip, and look forward to chatting with you next time.
All right. Thanks, Don. Take care.
All right. There he goes, Brendan Bayard. Next week you'll hear from Eric Mohabarak. And right after this break, you're going to hear about Ohio's all-time champion at getting criminal fines and penalties for an outdoor violation. What did he do? We'll tell you right after this pause on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, got another tragic story. This one says, when I was in elementary school in Franklinton, a classmate accidentally shot and killed a landowner from a deer stand. The boy's father had put him in the deer stand alone with no experience at all in hunting. Yeah, I would not be a fan of any elementary school student with no experience, even with experience. At that age, you never know what judgments will have to be made, and are they capable of making a sound judgment? You never know what could develop, and to leave them alone, particularly with no experience, is just wrong and tragic. All right, David Hubble's checking in, wishing everyone a safe, let's put an emphasis on safe, and prosperous year of hunting, fishing, and good cooking of what they will harvest. And this one comes in, a happy snowy new year from Ohio. Here y'all going to get it too coming up. Stay well, stay warm. Don't know if we're going to get the snow, but we'll certainly get some colder weather. And speaking of Ohio, that's the dateline for our Bad Boys of the Outdoors feature, which you're going to hear next right after we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. After receiving information alleging a trophy deer was taken unlawfully, Ohio's Division of Wildlife began an investigation into Christopher Alexander's taking of an 18-point buck on November 9th of 2023. This past October, Alexander pleaded guilty to a total of 14 counts of illegal taking and possession of two deer, hunting without a license, hunting without a deer permit, selling illegally taken or possessed deer antlers, spotlighting, 4 counts of hunting without permission, tampering with evidence, theft, misdemeanor theft, and falsification. 3 accomplices connected to the case, 29-year-old Corey P. Harnett of Hillsboro, Ohio, 37-year-old Christina M. Alexander of Blanchester, Ohio, and 31-year-old Zachary R. Harnett of Lebanon, Ohio, were sentenced to various fines and court costs, while $39,696.73 in civil restitution and another $4,000 in additional criminal fines, court costs, and restitution, forfeiture of the trophy antlers, plus a 10-year hunting license suspension and 6 months of a 5-year sentence to be served in the Star Community Justice Center Correctional Facility. This was the largest fines and penalties in Ohio hunting history, was the sentence given to 28-year-old Christopher J. Alexander of Wilmington, Ohio, our bad boy of the outdoors. Yeah, I got to tell you, this antler fever, huh? It makes people do some very crazy, strange, and very regretful things. All right, getting back to the text messages, got this info coming in from the old snake doctor, a regular longtime listener. He says the New Orleans fly fishers will be holding a fly fishing exposition coming up on Saturday, January 25th from 8 to 4. It's free and everyone's welcome. It's for beginners and old pros. It's going to be at the gym in St. Christopher's Church, 3900 Durbigny Street in Metairie. There's going to be fly tying, casting instructions, and seminars for beginners, again, and the old pros. That's going to be coming up on Saturday, January 25th. And here's a comment saying, Captain Mike Gallo needs to put a seatbelt on and stop that bong bong we were hearing. Glad it's in the truck and not going to be on his deer stand. That would not be good. Here's Earl from Metairie. Wants to know if we got any reports of CWD, chronic wasting disease, up in the Delta in Mississippi, Yazoo County. Even up in Natchez, it's been real slow this year. Not really seeing the bucks. We don't know what's going on this year. Any reports of that? Thank you, and thank you for always doing what you do. No specific reports in that area of chronic wasting disease. It's certainly been around that area. But if you're seeing a lack of bucks in general, I don't think that would be a cause of CWD. There wouldn't be that many deer taken out that soon. I would look to maybe what some of your neighbors on neighboring leases might be doing, that may be pulling some of those deer from your lease onto theirs. That could be the culprit, and it might just be one of those cases where things are just matching up, not matching up right with your trips to the woods and the timing of the rut. Who knows? But stranger things happen. All right, if you've got a text message for us you'd like to get in, it's 504-260-1870. Got a lot of things going on here this morning. Got some more fishing and hunting reports coming up. We'll try to get a cast and a blast report from our friend Ryan Lambert, the plastic man, next. He's down there in Burris, and they're wrapping up the West Zone, and that the West Zone, believe it or not, extends from, which is understandable, Hackberry, where we're going to be going at right before the end of the program, near the Texas state line, all the way to Venice, Louisiana. That's the West Zone. And I know it's very confusing. It should probably be called the Coastal Zone as opposed to the West, but we've got West and East, and the West wraps up tomorrow, and then there's another split that will be later in the month, whereas there's two splits in the East Zone. There's been some conjecture about whether we should have similar splits in both zones. Also, did want to pass this along, a reminder, you can help the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries by collecting striped bass samples. They're looking for DNA. You can clip a fin to get it and give it to the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. They're looking for fish that would be coming from all the waters east of the Mississippi River. That would include Lake Maurepar, Lake Pontchartrain, Lake Bourne, as well as all the rivers that drain into those lakes and the whole Pearl River system. So if you happen to catch a striped bass, snip the fin, go on the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries website, and you can find an Attention Anglers logo and check it out and follow up with it and help them ID some striped bass. They're trying to get a better handle on how to manage the species and track their movements and growth rates. All right, we come back after this. Ryan Lambert joins us. He's our plastic man, and we'll get a report down in Plaquemines Parish next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And I understand the plastic man has been shut out from duck hunting again. They just don't have room for the guy down there at Cajun Fishing Adventures, so he's relegated to doing the fishing duty this morning. How have the guys been doing that have the honor of hunting ducks down there, Ryan?
I think it's a conspiracy. I think Ducks Unlimited did this.
Yeah.
They've been doing okay. Yesterday was bad because they killed ducks, but not good because no water, they just, this negative tide just killed us. Then of course the duck season will end as soon as we get good tides.
Yeah.
So all next week will be good tides to hunt, and the season will be closed. So I'm going to work on that hard as soon as that cycle ends, whether it's 3 years or 5 years, where they could switch the zones and stuff. So I don't know how long this cycle has been going on, but it's been a while.
Yeah.
So, but they've been killing. There's a lot of ducks out there, all kinds of ducks, too. I mean, you name it, from golden eyes to pintails and mallards. Not mallards, very few mallards. But maybe this week we might get a few blown in with this cold if it freezes everything up north. So I don't know. It's been good, but the water's just been really, and the rest of the season is going to be the same way. When it opens up, we're going to have good water on the 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st, 22nd, and then it's going to start going negative on us. But we're just going to hunt outside the bays. We have to combat it somehow.
Yeah, well.
But the fish is still good, too. So it's been a good year.
Yeah, it has. And the river is it's a little bit higher, but it looks like there's a fall coming. Is that right?
There's a fall, but it's already messed up the river. I mean, once it gets to, you know, in my area, 5 foot, and further down the river, 7 foot. When it gets there on the New Orleans Gauge, it blows it out. You know, everything gets dirty. Even the passes will get dirty now. You might still get them way down in southwest spillways, maybe. But, you know, they're in the bays. I'm not going way down there if I catch them right here in my backyard. So you don't have a long boat ride. You can catch good. In fact, I'm going to fish them this morning. Sarah came down, so her and I are going to go fish. We're going to try to get redfish and trout this morning.
Now, is she going to be fly fishing or just conventional tackle?
We're going to bring everything with us. We're just going to have fun.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we'll throw the long rod at a few of them if we see some big ones, which we're going to do. You know, it's not that windy yet, so we'll try to hit them early because with this low water, they'll be out the marsh and just along the banks and canals, which makes them pretty accessible. And then after that, we'll go hit some reefs and some old shell reefs, I know, and catch some trout.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's pretty much all going on down there right now. I mean, you got everything happening.
It's been the best fall I can remember in so long. I mean, it's been very, very good. I mean, just pick your species, whatever you want to do and where you want to go, and you can do it. I mean, it's best trout year I've seen in many, many years for everybody. You know, not just us, but for everybody. I mean, it's been a great trout year. You know, it's you know, I don't think the limits had anything to do with it. I think the rivers finally went down long enough to where all the fish in Mississippi and Alabama and all through Lake Charles and all that's coming back toward the river a little bit, you know, because we had that 10-year stretch where it was just record high levels. So this is about the best year we've had at low yet last year for a while or this year. And they're in all the bays. They're on both sides of the river. I mean, it's nice.
Well, I am hearing something different this year. You know, the trout are too big. You know, they're too big. We can only keep two over 20 inches. I can't find any under 20 inches.
There are nice trout out there. But, again, you know, the change in the limit didn't do that. Because,
no, it didn't do it that quickly. But
no. But there are, again, those fish have all come back around and they're, you know, that's just the cycle that works. I mean, Stu and I have been talking about this for many, many years. You know, when the river's low, he's having a hard time in kokanee. When the river's high, he's crushing them in kokanee. So, you know, they push. They just push a little bit along. They get the water they like. You know, that's just nature. It's going to go where it likes it and wherever the bait is, and that's how it works.
Yeah. Well, have you talked to Stu Shear lately? I mean, I've been getting some good reports from kokanee this year, too.
Oh, yeah, I talked to him. Yeah, they're catching them inside right now real close. Mm-hmm. In Bay Boudreaux and stuff. I mean, it's the trout are there, the reds are there. So the reds have been there for a long time. The reds have been really, really good. All the red fishermen that I know come down for the tournaments, they've been going in that area, and they've been whacking some fish. So lots. I mean, just schools and schools that, you know, they report. Nobody's fishing them. It's really, really crazy.
Yep. But, sounds like you got those few good tide days to pick from in the third split. So if somebody wants to try to get in on those.
I know, that's so booked up.
But, it's booked now, huh?
They can catch some negative tides, you know, later and fish and hunt the evening with us.
Yeah.
We could do that, especially early, like the 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th. That area is going to be still real good because we can hunt the evening because the tides are low at like 5 or 6 in the morning. So you got all day to come up. So you get out there around lunch and you can have a really good hunt.
Well, there you go. That's for the late sleeping duck hunters. I even got it for
them. I got a lot of those. You know, it's so funny. Everybody thinks you got to be out there at daylight, but I don't like shooting ducks at daylight. I can't pick the male from the female, and I don't see my gun barrel well. It's I don't know. I just don't like it. You know, I don't like shooting them early. I don't like shooting them when the sun's on where I can see what I'm shooting. And you know, and you don't kill that many unless you're hunting wood ducks right at daylight. So what's the use of going risk your life in the river and go do all that stuff to to go kill one extra duck or something like that. I don't get it. But it's just tradition, I think.
Yeah, that and some areas that aren't as tidally affected as you are, it does make a difference being out there right at first light, you know. But where you guys are, it's all about the tides, you know.
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt. And, you know, just watching them come in from offshore, just watch those blocks come in. And you can see them. It looks like smoke. They're so far away, a couple of miles away, you can see them. And you can watch them come right to you. Just and they cup their wings and come down to the first pond they see. And it's just,
Look, let me know if there's anything I can do to help get you in the boat. You know, beg those guys or offer them a bribe or something to let you get back out there and duck hunt.
Why don't you come down and hunt with me? That way I'll have an excuse.
Well, you got it. That ain't a problem. We'll work on that.
Okay, we'll do
give us your phone number.
We'll get you down. Okay, 504-559-5111. And go to CajunFishingAdventures.com. We're booking them fishing trips for the year right now.
Tell Sarah hello.
Will do, brother.
See you next week. There he goes, Captain Ryan Lambert. Coming up next, Captain Kirk Stansel. We go out west to get his cast and blast report right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And I got a text message in with regard to the that huge $44,000-plus fine and suspended license for 10 years and 6 months in a jail saying, yeah, you don't break the law in Ohio. They take it very seriously. Also got this message in, and this is unconfirmed, but I'm sure I'll hear more about it, if in fact it is true, that there was a trophy buck that was confiscated by Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries in Washington Parish due to over-limit. The hunter took his third buck in Area 4. Also got a report from Captain Mike Smith, said he's getting some birds over there in Delacroix. That's a change. We postponed our trip earlier this week because of lack of birds doing that little warm-up, but it looks like that approaching front has brought some more birds into the area, and that's some good news. And I was asking the texter if they actually had tagged all three of those bucks, which would have been self-incrimination. He says, yep, that's what got him busted. It was a fine buck, and it's on the Area 4 deer Facebook page. I didn't know they had a Facebook page for Area 4. I guess they got a Facebook page for just about everything. I also had this question in about would it be better to fish before or after an approaching cold front? And I responded in a short answer. Didn't realize I was going to have some time. We have a little difficulty in getting a hold of Captain Kirk, and I'm sure he's probably out in the middle of chasing down a crippled duck or something where we couldn't get him. But anyway, fishing before or after a front. I would always like to fish before because what's happening, the pressure's dropping. Fish have a tendency to feed. The feeding increases as pressure drops, where after a front comes through, you've got a high-pressure situation, which gives fish a tendency to not feed. But if you have time to fish a couple days after the passing of the front, it could be better, but you got to let that water clean up because you're probably going to have a little dirty water and a little bit of a north wind situation. And, again, it depends on if your area is better fishing with a southerly wind or with a north wind. Most areas in Louisiana, you do better with a southeast wind. Usually brings in, and we're talking salt water here, brings in saltier water and, you know, stimulates a little bit of fish feeding because you got both of them going on at the same time. All right, my buddies over there in Mobile giving me the Tensaw Delta report. Got real muddy since they had the rain last week, so Scott and he headed to Shell Beach, and the fishing there was great, and the water was clear, and I asked him, did you ever consider moving? He says he wishes he could. He said the fishing over there in Mobile is so sensitive. They go to Campos and hardly ever miss out on the fish. All right, here's one that says, Earl from Metairie, haven't used saltwater topwater lures a lot, but I want to try. Usually when you use those doesn't mean when you do use those doesn't mean bigger fish. Thank you. Yeah, generally they're pretty big baits, and generally bigger fish are going to hit them, although I've caught some pretty ambitious 12- and 13-inch speckled trout on topwater. It's my favorite way to catch speckled trout. I would rather catch 3 speckled trout on a top water than 15 on a live shrimp or a plastic jig on the bottom. It's just something exciting about watching that fish explode on top, grab that bait, shake his head, sometimes jump out of the water. Sometimes they get into a frenzy, and they're even actually hitting the bait with their mouth closed just to kill it. They'll slap it with their tail, and sometimes you'll hook them in the side or the tail when they get into that situation. But that would be my favorite way to catch speckled trout, certainly, is on topwater lure. And, you know, the top dog is a good one. Mirror lure makes some good ones. A corky makes some good ones. So a lot of good topwater baits. Some of them use a combination of a rattle, where you get the noise, and the way to work it is it's called walking the dog. You just, you know, twitch your rod as you reel in slowly, and it makes the lure go back and forth, left to right, left to right, left to right. It throws a little bit of a wake, and you can pop it. And like Brendan mentioned, sometimes they'll want it to fish a little differently. You reel it real fast and then stop it. And while it's stopped and just floating there like it's a dead bait on top of the water, they'll come blow up on it. Great way to fish, fun way to fish, and it can be very effective at times. All right, there he goes. That's Reed Alleman. He's singing our outgoing theme song for our first show of 2025. We've got a whole bunch more to go. Hope you'll join us each and every Saturday morning. We do this from 5 to 7. We talk about hunting. We talk about fishing. We talk about issues, the things you and I just love to talk about each and every week. We do it on Saturday mornings from 5 to 7 a.m. Thanks to Cullen, our network engineer, producing the program for us. And thanks to you again for listening. And thanks to all of our sponsors. Please patronize them if you can. Without them, there'd be no show. We'll see you next week with another edition of The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.